You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A project funded by the Health Research Council has spotlighted the significant gap in support for Asian rangatahi who've experienced sexual violence in Aotearoa. Research investigated the experience of professionals and carers from counsellors, psychologists, educators, social workers, legal and medical practitioners, and more from across the motu. Increased cultural competency, safety, and support emerge as common themes for a more cohesive cross-sector approach to improve support for survivors. I spoke to the initiative's lead researcher, Dr. Ying Wang, about this kaupapa. Kia ora, could you talk us through an overview of your findings regarding lacking support for Asian sexual violence workers in Aotearoa?
Thank you. Our study found a group of deep caring professionals support young Asian survivors of sexual violence in New Zealand. They work with empathy, safety and trust building, creating spaces for young people of warmth, acceptance and empowerment. The human connections emerged as the most powerful healing element, helping survivors feel respected and supported. However, these professionals operated in a fragmented, under-resourced system. They also face consistent challenges in community, include cultural taboos, family resistance, and fears of dishonor that silence young survivors. And most importantly, we also found many health professionals experience emotional exhaustion, compassion fatigue, and lack structural support. They wanted recognition of their own well-being needs without, you know, the systemic change. The relational depths that help professionals aim to provide is at risk, both for their own well-being and for the quality of care offered for survivors. So the health professionals, they want to be safe, need to be safe to provide safety for the community.
And how can we best support the sustainability of care for these kaimahi, these workers in these fields?
How to start? I'm really feeling the gap as everywhere. The first, I would say we must center young people's voice in service design, and the trauma-informed practice must be youth-led, flexible and responsive to their lived realities. So the workforce need to have this awareness, need to work with the cross sectors like in research and policy making and in schools. And also we need a cross-sector integrations. For example, education, health, legal system and community services must move beyond the silos to create more joint pathways, what we often call no round door approach, so young people can experience continuity rather than the fragmentation in the support system. Especially because my research focuses on young survivors from Asian communities, so the cultural responsiveness must be embedded as the core principle. Not option. This means recruiting and training Asian professionals, interpreters and culture supervisors, while also weaving Asian worldviews and practice into mainstream service framework. I think another point I really want to make is community engagement is so crucial. Outreach and education strategies must address stigma and silence, working alongside families and community leaders to foster collective support for young people's well-being. Of course, we can't ignore the well-being of the workforce. The investment in, I would say, sustained investment in supervision, peer support, and cultural competency training and emotional support is vital. Without this, burnout will impact service quality and compromise the very relational depths that survival value the most.
And do you have any thoughts on balancing the cultural competency of existing professionals in the sector and the need for a wider representation of diverse ethnicities in the health and education support sectors for sexual violence?
Well, I would say representation of a diverse workforce in health and education support sectors matters, but it's not enough. What is critical is that workforce, regardless of their cultural backgrounds, they can work effective across cultures. For example, many people from, from Asian communities don't necessarily want to work with someone from their own community, often because of the privacy concerns in small networks. And for some young people in Asian community, that can be even more tricky, especially when trauma sometimes is tied to cultural norms, their experience in family or community. They may prefer support from someone else, like someone outside their culture, to create a new space for healing and growth. So I would say the cultural competence isn't about knowing every culture, because that's just impossible. It's about skills, awareness, empathy, and ongoing reflection. It can't just rest on individual level. It must be built into the system. We need to not just culturally competent individuals, but culturally competent system.
Through the lens of your research, what are your thoughts on Te Aorere Kura, our current national strategy, and its suitability for serving that intersectionality and cross-sector collaboration?
Te Aorere Kura, the national strategy, provides a strong framework for intersectional cross-sector collaborations. But our research shows the critical gaps for Asian community and the workforce. Asian survivors face unique cultural barriers, like cultural silence, taboo topic, stigma, and family community pressure and so on. So we need a talent and a culturally responsive interventions and funding for services that understand the Asian cultural needs. Another point is, you know, our study found the limited structural support among helping professionals. Te Aorere Kura calls for a skilled workforce, but this requires investment in culturally responsive supervision, peer support, training in cross-cultural practice, and the skills for engaging young people and the marginalized communities. So the efforts are required to enhance the support to provide to our workforce to enable them to effectively perform their caring responsibilities. Another point I wanted to make is cross-sectors collaboration must include Asian voices in policy making and design. Integration across support systems and services will only succeed if equity and inclusivity are the central. So I would say that Te Aorere Kura sets the vision, but our practice must value culture responsiveness and systematic competence. Also, the workforce well-being to truly support our Asian communities in New Zealand.
And your research findings included original artwork and two original songs. Could you speak about the journey to those being produced?
These two songs actually came from an early project which focused on school-based support for young Asian survivors. So these two songs translate research findings and these young survivors' own voice into creative forms that speak directly to young people in the community who may never read academic reports or articles. So this project, so building on that early project, this current HRC-funded study, wanted to listen to help professionals' lived experience. So in this study, we invited 29 professionals in this study, include doctors, psychologists, counselors, educators, and so on, to reflect on their work through creative methods. For example, using metaphors, drawings, and poetic words. So from these, I created a poetry book from the participants' voice paired with their artwork. Each piece captured the emotional weight of their role and reveals common things through art-based analysis. The creative representation of this study is really powerful because it invites readers from diverse background to engage this study more emotionally with lived experience and to gain deep emotional insights through storytelling.
That was Dr. Ying Wang, Research Fellow at the Centre for Arts and Social Transformation at the University of Auckland, on her findings about the experiences of Asian communities in the sexual violence support sector and how needs can be better serviced in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.